Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Evening. Today is Friday, and I am John.
This is Dongning. 大家好，欢迎在周五的夜晚来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。So today is Friday's weekend. Let's share many interesting news for our audience. And the music festival is to be held in Macau. 23rd Macau International Music Festival will be held between October the 9th and November the 8th, which will feature the performances by world-renowned artists. Well, it's very interesting and have maybe no more than 2 months to go.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's really cool because this is like a month-long music festival. And so it's going to have many, many different kinds of music, like opera, choral, chamber music, as well as more contemporary music such as pop and jazz music. And also, it's very, very international. We're looking at almost 20 countries are going to be represented at this music festival. And I think this is definitely something that Macau should be quite proud of.
那么在今年的10月9号到11月8号呢，在中国的澳门地区将举办第23届澳门国际音乐节。届时呢，将有全世界最著名的艺术家来到澳门展示。So this year's festival embraces opera, symphonic, and choral, and chamber music, as well as contemporary folk, pop, fusion, jazz music, which will be presented by artists from all over the world. And headlining and opening the program of festival is the Macau Orchestra's Butterfly Lovers Concert. Performed in commemoration of both 60th anniversaries of People's Republic of China and 10th anniversary of establishment of Macau Special Administrative Region. This year's festival also features fusion music with the American group Flexible Music and Berlin-based contemporary jazz ensemble linked together, performing on October the 20th.
No, it's really cool because like fusion music, basically it's kind of what it sounds like. It takes different kinds of music, usually like from different countries, different styles, and kind of puts them all together and makes like a new kind of sound. And to my mind, this is actually quite international, you know, because, you know, like if you take music from Brazil and music from America and music from China and you put it all together, like this is like really international music. And so I think for a festival that's called the International Film Music Festival, having this kind of fusion music featured just kind of really does emphasize the international nature of music these days. I mean, because it's really interesting, like any kind of artist, they're always going to be like influenced by what's out there at the time. And so what we're looking at now is how the world basically is becoming more and more connected, and we're much more exposed to other cultures and other forms of art, but especially other forms of music. And so it's just really cool to see how these artists are inspired by different forms and different styles, and how they can then kind of incorporate it and make like a truly international style of music.
那么提起今年十月呢，在地球的另一边，在匈牙利的一家公司计划在十月份的举办一个特别的选美比赛，评选匈牙利最美的整容小姐。那参赛者呢，不一定要天生丽质，但是必须要做过整容手术，从十八岁到三十岁的年轻女性呢，均可以报名参加此次选美。而三十岁以上的参加佳丽呢，将被列入整容女士组的角逐。You know, when I heard about this, contest, I think, you know, usually when we talk about the contest, like Miss World and Miss Continental, what we think is natural beauty. But this thing was like you have to have a plastic surgery.
Yeah, this is actually quite strange. Because usually for like beauty contests and stuff like that, you know, it's going to be like no plastic surgery allowed. Like it has to be like all natural. Or if someone does enter and they have had surgery, then it's looked down upon and they probably won't win. But this time they're basically reversing that, and the only people that can actually take part in this competition are those people who have had plastic surgery. So it's like a real reversal, I think, on the usual trend.
那么主办方呢表示，举办这样的一次选美比赛呢，主要是为了打破人们对于整容手术及其受益者们的传统偏见，让女士们有一个和谐的环境来追求美。Yeah, everyone has the, you know, chance. anything they can, you know,fight for themselves. For example, if you are not born with a beautiful face, you can have one by having a cosmetic surgery. But many people, I think men and other women should agree with it and not discriminate these women because they have their rights to fight for themselves. They have the rights to have a beautiful face.
Sure. I mean, it's just one of those things. I think a lot of it comes down to just, like, personal opinion. Because some people think, you know, well, you know, natural is best, whereas some people think maybe cosmetic surgery is okay, too. And so what they want to do is basically kind of lift, like, the stereotype or the discrimination against people who have had plastic surgery.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that many years ago there's a girl who compete for a beauty contest. And the people, some paparazzi found she had a plastic surgery before. So she had to be eliminated from the contest. It's really, really pity for her. But for now, in Hungary, and the Miss Plastic Hungary contest is really seek some new chances for this women who had cosmetic surgery.
Sure. And it's just one of those things. I mean, in the end, it's almost like, well, why not, I suppose. Because a lot of people these days are getting more and more plastic surgery. It is becoming more common.
Yeah, and people who organize this contest said, let's not forget that there are ladies who have had new perspectives open up for them thanks to plastic surgery, who could get rid of their complexes with an operation and can now have a more complete life.
Yeah, no, it's really kind of funny because a lot of people do, I think, disagree with plastic surgery and stuff like that. But I think at the same time, it's something that's kind of come out of, you know, this modern culture that we all inhabit, where, like, beauty and youth have become just so important that people are, you know, willing to kind of, we would say, go under the knife.
Okay, for now, let's go from Hungary to America. U.S. teenager becomes youngest person to circumnavigate globe alone. A 17-year-old U.S. Mariner steered his battered sailboat into a Southern California harbor recently to complete a grueling 13-mile voyage and become the youngest person to sail around the world alone. 那么一位17岁的美国水手最近呢将他的饱经风霜的帆船驶入了美国加利福尼亚南部港湾，完成了他长达13个月的艰苦旅程。自此呢，他成为历史上孤身环球航海最年轻的人。Only 17 years old, he's a teenager, and he must have a very, very, very special experience when he grow up.
Sure, sure. No, it's one of those things. I mean, like, you know, going around the world is.Quite a task, I think, but especially for, you know, a 17-year-old boy. And it's really kind of, it's kind of crazy because there have been less than 250 people that have sailed by themselves around the globe. And we have about three times that many climbing to the top of Mount Everest. And so this actually is quite a feat, I mean, like, because not very many people can do that or have done that. And the thing is, it's really, really difficult because you're sailing alone. And sailing alone can actually be...a little dangerous because you're dealing with storms, you know, equipment failures and stuff like that that you have to deal with by yourself.
Yeah.
And so this is, it's really kind of amazing that he did this.
Yeah, I only can imagine that an adult can do this all by himself or herself. But this teenager, only 17 years old, he didn't, you know, go to college, didn't have any experience.
Sure.
But he might have the sailing experience, but it's too young. Yeah, and also during his journey, his return was delayed near the end of his voyage when his single-mast boat sustained a broken bulkhead in rough seas of Mexico, forcing him to stop at Puerto Vallarta long enough for his father to fly in to make repairs. And also another tense moment occurred in the Indian Ocean off Indonesia, where the Intrepid was approached by a suspected pirate boat.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just one of those things. I mean, again, this kind of shows to you the dangers, I think, of sailing, sailing alone, like on a long journey, because you really don't know what's going to happen. And like, because, you know, his father flew down to make repairs, to help make repairs. I mean, that just shows that in the end, like, he couldn't do it totally alone. I mean, like, there's just some things that, number one, maybe you don't have the expertise, or maybe number two, like, you need some help. And so, like, imagine, like, if he could not have made it back to Porto Vallarta, then he would have been in deep trouble.
Mm.好，那么接下来呢，我们来到米兰看一下。那么米兰呢，最近呢公布了禁酒令，严禁16岁以下的年轻人饮酒。No drinks for the under 16 teenagers. Milan will become the first Italian city to bar drinking for youth aged under 16 when a ban take effect recently. And faced with a growing youth drinking problems, the city council in Italy's fashion and business capital voted recently to crack down on underage alcohol consumption.
Yeah, and this is one of those things. I think this is becoming true for many, many different countries. But like in the States, like if you're under 21, like it's illegal to drink. But at the same time, we do have a youth drinking problem as well. And it makes a lot of sense, I think, because what they're going to do basically is just have some pretty harsh punishments, like the fines and stuff like that for underage drinking is going to be very expensive. And so if these kids get caught, then they're faced with, some steep fines, and, you know, that will probably take a lot of work to, you know, to pay off.
Well, recently we keep receiving a lot of emails from our dear listeners and asking about how to listen to our show online. And here's the method. You can log on to our website, which is www.cnr.cn. And on the top of the webpage, you can find a forum. And from the forum, you might find ways to how to download our English Evening Every Day. And also, you can listen to our show online, which is also from the I think it's from the business page and business radio page. On the left side of the website, you can find a everyday program on there of English Evening. Okay, and for now, let's move on to business. 接下来呢，我们来听听财经资讯。Asia may lead new growth of world trade.世界贸易组织总干事拉米表示，亚洲可能引领世界贸易新一轮增长。
The World Trade Organization Director General Pascal Lamy said recently that Asian economies may be leading the new expansion of world trade. Speaking at the launch of the World Trade Report 2009 on the sidelines of the Ministers for Responsible Trade of the APEC 2009,Lamy said that the WTO estimates that Asia is starting to see a rebound in trade from the very low figures in the first quarter of the year. These figures show that the Asian economies may be leading the new expansion of world trade, he said. Lamy also noted the importance of combating protectionism. He said the current crisis was not caused by trade policy, but protectionist trade policy played a significant role in deepening and prolonging the economic downturn.He said that there has been an increase in restrictive trade measures since the onset of the crisis, hence there is no room for complacency. I do not think we are in a situation where we need to cry wolf, but we need to remain vigilant and open with one another, he said at the conference.
Okay, and that was today's best news.For now, let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to study with us.Well, Adam is obviously sympathetic towards people who spend money, even large amounts, on their dogs and cats. Beth, however, opposes the idea, saying it's outrageous. Budgeting a monthly allowance for dog food is one thing, but to spend $20,000 on a dog for a life-saving operation is completely different.Well, we've got two more keywords before we move on. The first is trivial, as in Jim had a bike accident, but his injuries were trivial compared with when he crashed his car. And the word discretionary. That is not one of our regular bills, so please pay it out of our discretionary funds. Okay, now let's move into conversation B. We're talking about how much money we should spend on our pets. This reading begins at the bottom of page 56 on line 17.
How much should you spend on your pet? Conversation B.
I agree that pets are valuable companions. It's just that an animal's health seems so trivial compared to many of the problems facing our world. Don't you think that $20,000 would be better spent helping to alleviate human suffering?
Perhaps in some people's minds. But you have to remember that the money being spent by these pet owners is discretionary income. I think people have the right to spend their money however they wish.
But I've even heard of people taking out a second mortgage on their home to pay their pets' medical bills. Talk about ridiculous!
Hi friends, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Esther, and we're continuing our conversation between Adam and Beth. Now, Adam is a pet owner. He has a dog, Cooper, who is under the weather and will need minor surgery, which will cost a couple hundreds of dollars.
And so the point of our lesson today, and as was yesterday, is it worth it to spend a lot of money on a pet? Keeping a pet healthy and extending the life of a pet. So Adam and Beth have been having a pretty good conversation about this. However, they see things differently. We realize that Adam thinks it's great to spend money to take care of your pet. And Beth, on the other hand, thinks that maybe there should be a limit, that people shouldn't spend thousands of dollars to prolong the lives of their pets.
But Adam thinks, well, because pets are part of their family, they are loyal companions, it's okay to spend money, and even large amounts of money, to pay for your pet's medical bills. So let's go into conversation B and see how Beth responds to Adam when he says, true, but don't forget that these pets are loyal companions who are part of the family.
Okay, so Beth starts out by saying, I agree that pets are valuable companions. It's just that an animal's health seems so trivial compared to many of the problems facing our world. Now, Esther, we have our very first word bank word there. The word is trivial, not trivia, that's something totally different, but trivial. What does it mean if something is trivial?
Well, if something is trivial, it means it is very unimportant. It shouldn't matter that much. For example, if you get into a trivial fight with your friend, well, maybe you're fighting about something that's really not important, or maybe you don't even need to fight about it.
Exactly. So what Beth is doing is she's looking at the big picture. She's saying, our world has a lot of problems. People are starving, you know, and some people don't have enough money and they don't even have clean drinking water. And she thinks it's a bit trivial to spend so much money on a pet when you could put that money towards something more important. She asks a very interesting question. Don't you think that $20,000 would be better spent helping to alleviate human suffering? Now, Esther, why did she pull out the number $20,000? Can you remind our friends?
Sure, of course. Yesterday, we talked about how Beth said that some people, in fact, she knows a family that was willing to pay $20,000 so their dog can have a bone marrow transplant, and she thought it was outrageous. She thought this is totally unbelievable. But Adam doesn't think it's such a bad idea. So now Beth thinks, well, that $20,000, you can use it to help alleviate or to help get rid of human suffering.
That's a good question. And Adam responds with, well, perhaps in some people's minds, that's a good idea. But you have to remember that the money being spent by these pet owners is discretionary income. And if something is discretionary, then it means that you have the ability to act for or decide using your own judgment. Basically, he explains it in the next sentence. I think people have the right to spend their money however they wish. And that's what it means. If it's your money, you have the right to spend it however you want. It's discretionary income. And if people have a lot of money, well, then they can spend a lot of money on their pets if they so choose.
Right. It's your private money. You own it. It's not owned by the government, so you can decide how you want to use that money. But Beth doesn't agree with Adam. She continues on and says, but I've even heard of people taking out a second mortgage on their home to pay their pets' medical bills. So people are borrowing money from the bank. And if you have a mortgage, it means that you borrow money from the bank or another source so you can pay for your monthly bills.
Now, this is a good point as well, because some people can't afford to pay for their pets' medical bills, and they can afford to pay several thousand dollars. However, she brings up the point that some people are borrowing money and going into debt, D-E-B-T, because they are so concerned about paying for their pets. So if that's the case, that's maybe something to consider. Is it worth it to spend so much money and to actually have to take out a mortgage on your house or a second mortgage to pay for your pet's medical bills? What's her last response to this idea? What does she say?
Beth says, talk about ridiculous. So she says, talk about being foolish or crazy.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about how much is too much when we're talking about spending money on our pets, like our cats and dogs. Well, Beth thinks people shouldn't spend so much money on their pets. There are plenty of other things that the money could be used for, like reducing human suffering. So Beth thinks that money should be used for other purposes. Adam, on the other hand, finds it hard to be the judge of how people spend their money. He thinks, hey, why not? Well, right now, let's look at our example sentence for the word jeopardize. Jeopardize. The student jeopardized her success on an important test by watching a movie instead of studying. And now, the last word of the month, conviction. Andy has strong convictions about politics and shares them with as many people as he can. Okay, Adam is ready to give his response to one of Beth's arguments. Let's listen to what he says on line 9 of page 57.
How much should you spend on your pet?
But that's their choice. Going into debt may be easier for them than watching their beloved pet suffer or putting it to sleep.
It just doesn't make sense. People are jeopardizing their own quality of life in order to extend the life of an animal.
Some people just have different priorities than you. How is spending money on a pet any better or worse than buying an expensive car or home or taking a luxurious vacation?
I'm still sticking to my convictions here. There are far more noble things to spend that kind of money on than an expensive operation for a pet.
Welcome back. We're in the middle of a conversation between Adam and Beth. And right before the break, Beth mentioned that some people are willing to even take out a second mortgage or borrow money from the banks in order to pay for their pets' medical bills. And she ended with, talk about ridiculous. Now, let's look at Adam's response to that, to her point. What does he say?
Adam says, but that's their choice. So people choose to pay this amount of money because perhaps going into debt may be easier for them than watching their beloved pet suffer or putting it to sleep. So he's saying that, well, some people, they're willing to go into debt because they don't want to see their pet suffer. They don't want to see their pet being hurt. And they truly don't want to put their pet to sleep or even kill their pet because it is in so much pain.
Now, you just said the phrase, put a pet to sleep. Again, it doesn't mean to actually let them sleep. That's a really nice general way of saying to have to kill or to put the pet under. It's a hard thing to say. No one wants to kill a pet. But often, if the pet is really sick, this is the only option. Some families, they love their pets so much that they can't bear to watch their pets go to sleep. So they'd rather go into debt and not have any money and pay for the medical bills than to put their pets to sleep. So this is a good argument as well from Adam.
But Beth doesn't agree, and she continues on and says, but it just doesn't make sense. If something doesn't make sense, that means you can't understand it. Beth can't understand why people would want to go into debt so their pets can get medical treatment. She thinks it's kind of crazy, or she thinks people who spend a lot of money on the medical bills of pets are not making a wise choice.
No, in fact, she goes on to say that people are jeopardizing their own quality of life in order to extend the life of an animal. Now, to jeopardize something just means to endanger it or put it at risk. Another way to say this sentence is just that some people are making their animals more important than themselves. They're making their own lives less important because everything revolves around the animal. They are jeopardizing their own quality of life.
But Adam doesn't think so. So he says, some people just have different priorities than you.
And then he asks her the question, how is spending money on a pet any better or worse than buying an expensive car or home or taking a luxurious vacation? For some families, Esther, the priority might be, let's put all of our money or our savings into a nice home. Another family might put their money into a nice, luxurious, wonderful vacation. And thirdly, a family might put their money into a pet. Adam doesn't see the difference between those three things. Basically, I think his point is, if it's your money, you can do whatever you want with it.
Right, but Beth still doesn't think so. She says, I'm still sticking to my convictions here. Now, if you stick to something, it means you're not going to change your mind. You're set on doing that. And here the word convictions means that things you feel or beliefs you feel very strongly about. So she says, I'm sticking to my convictions. I'm not changing my beliefs about people and how they spend money on their pets.
And she continues on to say that there are far more noble things to spend that kind of money on than an expensive operation for a pet. So her final point is something like $20,000 is crazy. It's ridiculous. There are more noble things or worthy things to spend that kind of money on. Wow, this is a really great issue to talk about. I think you should take the time to share your opinion in English with a friend. Do you think pets are worth thousands of dollars to extend their lives? What do you think about this particular subject? It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Beth and Adam raised some great questions. All of us here at Studio Classroom hope you have a great day. Bye-bye, everyone.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Okay, and that was Studio Classroom, which tells us we are at the end of this Friday edition of English Evening.
感谢您收听今晚的英语之夜节目 ,See you tomorrow, bye bye!
听众朋友，英语之夜节目的播出时间是每晚22:30到23:00，欢迎收听。
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
空气经济学，
欢迎来到空气经济学。今日茶点：杠杆企业 （Leverage Organization）。在物理学当中，杠杆能用很小的力量撬动很重的物体。在经济学当中，负债就是企业的杠杆。资本结构当中有负债的企业被称作杠杆企业，但负债经营是一把双刃剑。 既能使企业迅速筹集资金，降低经营成本，减少税负支出，也有可能使企业陷入到债务危机。
瑞士天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意，瑞士天梭。